Now, the ANC veterans announced a few months ago that they would hold their own national consultative conference ahead of the party's upcoming elective conference in December. The stalwarts had previously written to the ANC leadership calling for the removal of President Jacob Zuma, as well as a meeting to discuss what they called the crisis in the ANC. The struggle stalwarts stated that while they weren't granted their request to hold the consultative conference at the policy conference, they will go ahead and have their own gathering. They had initially announced that the conference would take place on the 20th, from the 20th rather to the 22nd of October. We now have been told that it is due to take place from the 17th to the 19th of next month. That is, of course, November. Now, for the latest, ANC stalwart, Reverend Frank Chikani, joins me on the line to tell us a little bit more. Reverend Chikani, thank you so very much for joining us.
Yeah, good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Now, of course, there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between yourselves and the leadership at Lithuli House. The latest delay, is that a sign that you are winning, or is it a sign that you are struggling to be heard?
No, the delay, it's purely logistical, because we made the decision too late. You'll remember the end of August.
Yeah.
And felt we would pull it off by October, but it was felt that we should move it to November so that we give ourselves enough time to mobilize not only members of the ANC and their structures, but also civil society and other institutions, and the consultative processes.
Yeah.
Would take longer than we expected, yes.
Now, when I spoke with Cheryl Carolus last during the, I think it was the second day after the opening of the policy conference in Nasrec in July, she spoke about the original idea that you had put to the leadership, which was that you would have this listening campaign leading up to your original idea of the consultative conference, largely because you felt that branches needed to be heard, that space needed to be created, you know, for people to engage with some of the fundamental root causes of what is causing the kind of internal implosion, if you like, of the ANC. With this conference happening now, have you been able to engage in that listening exercise, albeit not branch by branch?
Yeah, no, there's been lots of interaction. I mean, we have had time to interact with veterans around the country. It's beginning to happen from province to province. Like this coming week, there's going to be a meeting in Cape Town that brings the veterans together in preparation for the NCC. We have also talked to the alliance partners of the ANC. We have talked with the leadership of the African National Congress. We have talked to some of the provincial leaders. And we are continuing to do that. So it's a consultative process. I think the good news for me is that the message of the veterans is getting understood. More and more people are agreeing with the veterans and stalwarts that, in fact, the trajectory the movement has taken is the wrong trajectory. The manner in which the movement is being led is the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And that it will affect the confidence of the people in the governing party. And that would be unfortunate because of its legacy and history. And the majority of the people now, even ordinary people we meet in the streets, at the airports, everywhere, agree with this message that the African National Congress must change from the trajectories faced the following and go back to representing the interests of the people rather than interests of individuals. I think there is a broad agreement about that, yeah.
I don't think anyone will disagree, Reverend Shekhani. Of course, the how part is the difficult part, particularly if one considers the damage that has already been done and the poisoned political environment in which such a process has to, you know, be plotted. If one looks at several of the provinces, we have court battles, we have, you know, disagreements, deep fundamental disagreements about who the elected leadership in fact really is. How does the veterans, take into account those divisions and come out with a roadmap of sorts that gets you to identify whether it's two or three key issues that must be in place for the ANC to begin to recalibrate?
No, but that's exactly what we said. Remember, we started talking about this as a collective last year.
Yeah.
We proposed that the National Consultative Conference should be held in March before the policy conference. We were clear that the rot in the organization is so deep that you needed leaders to sit together and say, how are we going to make sure that this is corrected? These divisions that are happening, the battles in the provinces and in some of the regions, are a symptom of that. If people are in the ANC to advance their own interests, then you'll find them fighting for positions. But if people were there to represent the interests of the people, the masses, they would not fight amongst themselves. They would be debating more about who is better placed to lead the movement to meet the needs of the people. In whom would people have confidence, not in who would have the position to benefit individuals.
Absolutely.
I think that's where the problem is. That's why you've got all these battles, and they will continue as long as if the leadership doesn't stop and say, let's do it. That's why we have called for this NCC. We are inviting everybody, including the leadership, because this is a family matter we have to deal with. So on Friday, we'll interact with civil society, people who are concerned about this country. And Saturday and Sunday, we're going to lock ourselves in and say, deal with the problem.
Absolutely.
And once you've dealt with the problem, and the branches are beginning to invite us, I've got an invitation now. Many veterans are being invited to the branches. There are more and more people who are realizing, if we don't change, this will be the demise of the African National Congress.
Dr. Shekhani, I think
the problem with those who are maintaining this route is that they have lost the reverse gear.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, some of them have committed crimes. If you've committed a crime, you don't want a cleanup.
Reverend Shekhani, we just have to take a short break. We are going to continue with our conversation. We just have to pay the bills. I am in conversation with ANC stalwart Reverend Frank Shekhani about the conference that the ANC stalwarts will be planning. He's, of course, plotting out exactly how they're going to go about doing so. When we come back, we continue that conversation. Guest this evening, ANC stalwart Reverend Frank Shekhani, and we are talking about that much-anticipated consultative conference. Reverend Shekhani, now, you are laying the groundwork, you're doing all the build-up. Take us through. You've said you're going to be locking yourselves in behind closed doors. This is a family matter. But how are you going to ensure that you're going to be able to hear each other? Because one of the problems that we've had in the African National Congress is that the various groups of people, whether it is Youth League, Women's League, Stalwarts, the different factions of MK and so on, it seems as if you are talking past each other. What is the mechanisms that you're going to be using to allow for people to have their say, to ventilate properly the issues, for people to be allowed to have a chance to speak, and for you to get a full sense of, you know, what it is that needs addressing, and more importantly, how you're going to go about addressing it?
Well, you know, my experience is that those who are concerned about the future of this country, who are concerned about the poor, particularly those who are marginalized, those who care about the ANC as people's organization, that as a legacy you can't just destroy. all agree that something has gone wrong in the African National Congress and are ready to talk about fixing it. It's a question of the how.
Yeah.
And those who don't think there is a problem, they have other interests that have nothing to do with the people. I think that's the differentiator in this matter. And as I've said, those who are benefiting out of the chaos, out of the rot, those who have gone further to even commit crimes, wouldn't want the ANC to be fixed. They wouldn't want the country to be fixed. Because if you fix it, they will not be able to continue looting the resources of the people. And if you fix it and they've committed crimes, they'll go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wouldn't want that. So I make a difference. We make a difference between those who really have no interest in the future of the organization or the country.
Mm.
Those should not be in leadership because they are not there for the interests of the people except their interest. And so I have no doubt that when we meet together with all those members who are concerned about the future of this country and the organization, there would be no differences about that. The differences may be the how part of it.
Yes.
And that's normal, that's natural, that you need to defy and then reach each other's arguments, debates to find the best solutions.
Now, some of our listeners are putting questions to you, Reverend Chikani. I've got one WhatsApp message coming through from Davidton. It says, "Hi, Karima. Can you please ask Reverend Frank Chikani why the veterans are not more involved in guiding and advising branches on how to elect a leader? One would expect them to be more active given their history in the ANC and the situation the country finds itself in." Are you finding, Reverend Chikani, that branches are asking you to come and assist in this process, considering some of the problems that are going on at that level?
No, that's why I'm saying I'm getting invitations. Next week I'll be addressing another branch. I'm part of my branch in Midrand. We have had discussions within the branch. And many of the veterans participate in the branches. Those who are not participating, you know, it's those who have been marginalized or, you know, there is gatekeeping within the movement where, you know, older people don't have time to go and beg to be a member, you know, and they've made sacrifices in their lives. And some of them say, when you go to that meeting, they just ignore you because they have no respect. They have interest of their own rather than that of the organization. So the veterans are prepared. Of course, some are old. Remember, some are on wheelchairs and they are sticks. They made sacrifices for this country. And you can't wish them away. And some of the leaders do want to wish them away. And unfortunately, they cannot succeed.
Let me put another question to you from a 19-year-old from Pretoria. The person is asking me to ask you why the current leadership, not only President Zuma, look like they don't listen to such voices as yourselves and civil society. Do they really worry about the tarnished image of the ANC and the likelihood of losing power in 2019? How big is that concern within the ANC, Reverend Chikani?
Well, you know, I have already done it publicly and in writing, that I'm convinced that those who are not listening have no interest in the future of the ANC. They have no interest even in winning an election, because you can't behave in the manner they behave if you want to win an election. I even have expressed the view that if they are capable of corrupting an ANC election, they will even try to corrupt the national election, because they have no interest in getting the support of the people. If you were concerned, you would be taking a stand and saying all these revelations, all the evidence that are coming out about corruptions and billions of rands being taken out of the fiscus to serve other interests. Leaders would have stood up and said, get these people arrested, get the security, cluster, to make sure that these people go to jail. There is no activity at all that is significant to to show that there is concern. And therefore, I don't think people are really interested even about election. They are more interested in being elected within the ANC to continue with their project.
Now, let's focus on that for a moment, the actual election that is meant to take place at the elective conference on the 16th, starting on the 16th of December. There are already concerns that it might look like the conference will either potentially be interdicted like it was in Mangaung in 2012 as a result of some of the unresolved issues in the provinces, particularly if one considers that we have a nominations process that is open now, but you need the provincial executive structures architecture to, you know, see off and sign off on those nomination processes that are happening at branches. And there are others who are arguing that the conference could potentially collapse with President Zuma potentially staying on for a third term as party president. In whose interest do you think it is, Reverend Chakani, for the ANC conference in December not to take place?
Well, I mean, there are those who are prepared to do their damnedest to make sure that they continue on this trajectory or stop the process. And it can be in nobody's interest. Any leader would not be interested in a collapse of the conference because that will be an indication of failure of the leadership. We have never been in the situation in which we are today. I don't remember during my lifetime where there's total division between the alliance partners disagreeing with the leadership of the African National Congress, provinces collapsing, going to court. It is a result of pursuing self-interest rather than the interests of the movement and the people of South Africa. And I'm hoping that, I mean, people will work hard to make sure that the conference doesn't collapse and that people elect a leadership that will save the organization. Either you pull it from the precipice or you push it over the cliff. And the December conference is the one that's going to make that decision. Yeah.
What if the wrong faction wins the December conference? What if the faction that wins is effectively a representation and a continuation of the current status quo? What happens then? Does the ANC split?
I don't want to talk about ANC splitting. I would like to talk about ANC losing an election. If the current trajectory is continued with compromised people, compromised leaders, people who are involved in corruption and stealing billions of rands from the people, then people will vote them out of power unless they corrupt the election. And that's what we're going to have to make sure it never happens. It must end up within the party. It must not go into the national election. And so it's the choice of the membership. I've said that before. The membership has a choice to save the organization. If they fail in December and the organization remains captured to pursue interests that are an antithesis of the interests of the people, then the organization would have lost its direction.
Given how emphatic you've just been now about the type of leadership that that the ANC would have to elect, and that it would have to be consistent with the principles around ethical leadership and a leadership that can ignite the imagination of the country for 2019. And you said earlier that you are inviting everybody to this conference, including the leadership. Are you inviting President Jacob Zuma?
Everybody is invited. We agreed that the whole National Executive Committee should be part of the conference. And the provincial leadership, we're not factional. We're inviting everybody. We are engaged in discussions with the leadership as we speak now.
All right, we will leave it there. Reverend Chikani, thank you so very much. That's, of course, ANC stalwart Frank Chikani speaking to us about some of the substantive issues that are currently actually being thrashed out in preparation for that conference that is happening. And, of course, he's saying that everyone, including President Jacob Zuma, are invited to attend that conference. It's just